Hi, this is Emily Bennett, co-writer, co-director, and star of Alone With You.
Hi, this is Justin Brooks, co-writer and co-director of Alone With You, and you're listening
to The Graveyard Show.
Welcome to The Graveyard.
And welcome to another edition of the Graveyard Show podcast. I am your caretaker, and the graveyard is open. Well, I hope you've had a great start to your new year. I know I have. My first show of this year was with a great guest, Mr. Benjamin Lewis, the director and one of the producers of the new film Stoker Hills, which you can find in theaters and on demand. And I'm going to keep this tradition of having great guests going. With the two people you heard at the top of the show, Miss Emily Bennett, Mr. Justin Brooks, are here to talk about their new film, Alone With You. They are the co-writers, co-directors, and Emily is the star of this film, which is going to be released in theaters on February 4th, and then it's going to be available on demand February 8th. They're going to talk about making this film and how they are partners, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera as well. And, they have a great announcement that I'm going to save. I'll let them make that announcement in a little while during this interview. I'm not going to spend too much time yapping away here at the top of the show. I have a lot to talk about after the interview, including how this interview actually almost didn't happen as well. And I'll give you a hint. It was all due to the guy currently talking to you right now on the podcast. Man, this is the first time I actually ever felt like an interview was going to be disappearing in front of my eyes. It was just crazy. But I'll get into that again after the interview. Very quickly, though, if you would like to reach out to this show, you can reach me at gyspodcast@gmail.com. That's caretakerisawesome@gmail.com. You can send me your thoughts, comments, et cetera, et cetera. If you have anything you'd like to have promoted on the program, please let me know, and I will mention it here on the show. Also, in between this and my previous podcast, I did upload Graveyard Show Classic number 7, and that featured my interview with Brian Collins, who created HorrorMovieADay.com. It is from 2009, and it's one of my all-time favorite interviews. And Brian not only was a guest on the show, he later became a contributor on the show. And again, I'm going to hold a lot more of this information for after the interview that I'd like to share with you as well. Because as you hear in the background, my grave digging team is ready to go. And when that happens, that means my guests are here and it's time for me to get to work. And joining me now are the co-writers and co-directors of the film Alone With You, Emily Bennett, who is also the star of the film, and Justin Brooks. Emily, Justin, thank you so much for joining me here inside the graveyard.
Thanks for having us.
So, Emily, I'll start with you. Why don't you tell us what the film is about?
The film is about an anniversary evening gone terribly, terribly wrong. We follow Charlie Crane, who is preparing for a romantic evening with her girlfriend, Simone. But slowly throughout the evening, she realizes that the apartment isn't what it seems. The walls start to close in on her as she realizes she can't escape. And she has to face a gnawing truth that she's been unable to face until tonight.
So you call this a pandemic movie, or at least it's a movie that was grown from the pandemic. So tell me, because to me, this is a movie that could be told today. It could be told 10 years ago. I mean, it's definitely a movie that, while I'm sure it has grown from the pandemic, it's not just a pandemic movie. So why don't you tell me how the movie came about?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pandemic movie simply by the fact that it was shot during quarantine, but it was very important to us to not make a movie about the pandemic or about a sickness or even of the time. It felt we wanted something that kind of allowed people to step outside the reality of what was at our front door, but still kind of maintain really the horrors that we were all feeling internally, that of like isolation, kind of loss of self, like when you're taken away from all the things you do, all the people you spend time with, you know, you're kind of faced with who are you without all your identifiers, you know, and that was more the fear and the terror that we wanted to tell. And we felt that that was going to live a lot longer. That being said, it came upon us during the pandemic simply because we were ready to go into an entirely separate project. We had a film that we had been working on for about the past 2 years before that, ready to go. And of course, pandemic happened and shut down just about everything that was about to go into production, ourselves included. So obviously after the first couple of weeks of panic and depression and a lot of reality TV we're not especially good at standing still. We're pretty antsy people. We've got to work. So we just kind of talk to each other about what can we do? What can we pull off? I mean, we're in a rare position where I live with a very talented writer and actor, and I myself have been a DP for a very long time, and I can pretty much sit in any crew spot on a film set. So we had the rare kind of abilities combined to be able to actually pull off a film like this.
And if I can just jump in, Justin is a consummate professional and artist as a cinematographer, and is that in most other departments, which is kind of maddening sometimes, that to be with a partner so talented. But I have to say, just staying on theme with your show, we actually conceived this feature script and the idea of Charlie, the entire story, walking in a graveyard, because all other parks were shut down in New York during the pandemic. So we found a graveyard that would be open from 9 to 5.
And we would go. I thought you two looked familiar.
Are you in Brooklyn?
We spend a lot of time in the graveyard.
Yeah. Well, I do too, so there you go. But I've never conceived anything as brilliant as your movie is. I mean, the film is really fantastic. Getting back to the working relationship that the two of you have had, I mean, this is not the first time you've worked together. So tell me, how did the two of you meet, and how did this working relationship kind of happen?
Tinder. Big ups to Tinder. We kind of wish that we had a more interesting story than that. But honestly, I think our paths would have crossed anyway, because we work in genre. I've directed other genre shorts on my own, and so has Justin. And then our paths crossed. We both swiped right. And then thank God we did, because it's resulted where, I mean, we're partners in life as well as filmmakers. We're engaged.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I don't know, our first date, we sat at the House of Wax bar in the Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn, that a friend of Justin's owns. And all we talked about was movies. That's all we talked about the entire 3 hours.
Yeah. It's definitely been, I mean, since day one, we've just... I mean, obviously movies was the thing that really brought us together, and horror movies, you know, at the center of that. We're both huge fans of horror. And the fun thing is, as co-writers, co-directors, our horror background is very different. You know, I'm definitely a child of the 80s. Emily grew up more during 90s horror. And
Scream. And, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. So we come to it from very different places. Even in the art, like when we talk film, it's fun because Emily is far more, I guess she's far more attracted to kind of art film, a lot of old great cinema, and I have just an encyclopedic knowledge of slashers and splatterfests and just kind of old 80s forward horror. So, but together we have kind of this rare skill set that we make films together that we would not otherwise make separately. We're both very different filmmakers separately than we are together. But it's that's the fun in working with each other, is we get to create something that neither one of us would create on our own.
It's very interesting. It's a horror yin and yang. It's interesting because, Justin, I'm a child of the 70s, but I'm a product of the 80s. So I totally hear what you're saying in terms of 80s horror. And of course, well, because it's a podcast, people can't see, but you're wearing a Hellraiser shirt, which is very cool. Love that. And it's interesting because I did notice a lot of cinematic moments while watching your film. And I'll get to that in a minute, because there were some movies that were definitely that I was thinking of during certain sequences. And I could tell that you weren't, that you have seen other cinema and that you have been maybe even influenced by other cinema. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But what I'm always curious about is when I see co-directors, because, I mean, the director's chair is a hard enough chair to sit in by yourself, let alone working with someone else. So talk to me about what that's like as co-directors and how the process is for you as you work together.
I mean, it starts in the writing. as co-writers, you know, we conceived Alone With You together. This is based on originally a short that Justin came up with, but with a male lead, very different script. And as we kind of worked through, obviously we had me at our disposal for an actor, and we started both of us crafting this story around this girl, and a girl that we could pour our anxieties and past relationship woes into, our trauma. You know, Charlie bore the brunt of a lot of ghosts of our pasts. Honestly, co-directing really starts in the writing. And having me there, we could actually audition the dialogue pretty quickly, because I'm a co-writer and co-director. So if we would write something, he would be like, say this for me. And I would say it, and I'd be like, yeah, that kind of feel. And then he would be like, what about this? And so it was just an immediate kind of interaction result. Like we were able to go into production very quickly that way. And then moving into actual production, we would talk. I would be our AD. I would come up with our shot list in the morning. I would help him set up as much as I was able to. And then I would get into hair and makeup, and we would shot list. We would go through as much as we could without losing the day. And then I had to switch departments and be an actor.
Yeah, so. I think the funny thing is a lot of people talk about how difficult it must be to be co-directors, but I feel like we're almost cheating. We're taking a very difficult job and we're getting to divvy that up between the two of us. I mean, it is creatively, you need to be with the right person. And amazingly, Emily and I, no matter how different artists we are separately, we have an absolute shorthand and just sync up entirely when it comes to the stories we want to tell together. Mm-hmm. And it almost more becomes play between the two of us. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of, like, when we're outlining a script together, it's usually us like on the ground pantomiming, like killing one another in fun ways, and like, and then he'll do this and then I'll strangle you. And it's just, it's a lot of fun to kind of create the story. And then when we go into writing, we both know the through line and the ideas that we're trying to get through. And then the conversations between the two of us are really in what we've discovered in the scenes we've divvied up. We usually kind of split scenes, and one of us will start writing one character for the first time, and the other will start another character. And we have those conversations many of the times in that graveyard about what we've discovered about our character, what kind of fun doors we've opened. And then it's almost like we're sitting there trading cards. It's a lot more fun than work, really. And it's thanks to that shorthand that when we are on set and I need Emily in front of the camera, I know where she wants to go in direction as well. And we kind of work that out beforehand. We make sure we've got a solid idea of the scene. And then I have to let her be an actor, because that's so unbelievably difficult to change brain spaces so quickly, to have to go from a very kind of blocking, camera, lenses, lighting, what are we telling? And then have her get into this extraordinarily panicked mind state and have to be this character. I mean, that's a job all its own. But I think luckily we have this amazing shorthand that works through it all.
Well, it shows in the product, because I think if anything, the two of you, whether you're co-directors or if you were starting a business together or whatever, if you're working together, I think that would work just as well, because you have that relationship. You have that connection where you have trust and you're kind of in each other's heads, where you know what the other person's thinking or wants to do, which is really important. I wanted to talk about the opening scene of the film, because it took me back to a Fellini film almost. And I'm wondering if there was any sort of inspiration from any of his films, because it felt like just the way it was shot and the music. And I was like, wow, it's a cinematic moment. It's not like a quote unquote horror movie. And I was curious if there was any sort of inspiration maybe that came from that, or if it was just sort of, you know, just kind of happened.
I mean, honestly, we wanted that cinematic moment. Opening on a horizon like that is it's a tricky move. Like, we're telling people immediately, this is not, you know, we're not opening with a cold open where a girl gets slaughtered. You know, we're not opening with like some like thrilling chase or something like that. We're opening on a horizon that just reaches to, you know, infinity basically. And we hold there. Honestly, Bergman is a massive influence for both of us.
Okay.
Persona, that you know, Persona is a massive influence on this film. The idea of being away on a beach with a woman who you may be obsessed with, and where do those lines blur? Even with that opening shot, the lines of the sky and the water kind of blur. And we were lucky enough to have a kind of mist that had settled that morning when we were getting most of those shots. And the cinematography, you know, we shot list, we storyboard together, but that is Justin's art. That is his true artistry. And we wanted to, I especially as his partner, want to showcase the beautiful cinematography that can be part of the horror language too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, Justin's able to execute unlike anyone I've ever worked with.
But that's thank you. But that's also part of where we start. And you know, honestly, a lot of this film is very inspired by mid to late 70s horror. That's a place that we both are extremely attracted to, the tone, the pace, the feel of our film is meant to reach back to those kind of those moments for sure. And I think for us, like this story, you have to visually tell the story you're telling on the page. And this was a story that needed time. It needed space, and we wanted to allow our audience to know the tone immediately. We're not going to be this high ramp splatter fest. As much as I love all that horror, this is a quieter film. This is going to ask something of you, and we want to show that right up front, you know. And honestly, there was this portion in our intro at the very beginning of editing that was fast and quick and cutty and kind of manic, and we just realized really quick, me far slower than everybody else, but we realized that it just didn't work. You know, that was one of these pieces that I was just hanging on to, and then when we really looked at it, we're like, it makes no sense. This is a quieter, lovely moment for her. It needs to be that for the audience. And that's where we wanted to go with that, and allow our audience a ride into what would eventually become what's been lovingly called a panic attack of a movie. But that space was important to us at the beginning.
Yeah, it definitely, it harkened back for me to movies like Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Oh, thank you.
Which is a movie I always find myself going back to. And I love the idea of a horror movie that breaks convention like yours, where it's like, we're telling a story, there's horror elements to it, but it could also be a drama. And
Yeah, thank you so much. I have to say a few other influences on it, and thank you so much for saying that. Our Don't Look Now is a massive influence on especially the editing style of this, early, you know, Polanski films. And most people say Repulsion,
yes.
But honestly, the Tenant was a huge influence.
Yeah,
that's where
sure.
Simone comes from. Simone, the ghost, you know, the presence in that flat, you know, that the main character, Polanski, is experiencing. That's Simone comes from that film. So weaving those elements in was really important to us because we just love dread.
Yeah.
We love dreadful cinema, you know.
But that's also breaking that convention. It was just so unbelievably terrifying. I mean, I feel like mm-hmm. you know, in horror, one of the things we can always lean on is like a good kill or a good moment or just a fun gag. And I myself have made films in the past that are all that kind of, you know, just stand up and cheer type horror, that fun stuff. But this was something very different and in that absolutely terrifying, because again, it asks something of its audience. And you have to be willing to kind of take that ride. Mm-hmm. It's a very different horror.
Yeah, and I enjoy that because, again, it's like, I always say this about Stephen King. Stephen King's stories are horror stories, but if you take the vampires out of them or the monsters out of them, you still have a story there.
Yeah.
And what's great about your film is that there's a story there, and it's even in the title as the movie's going along. I'm like, well, Alone With You. It's either Alone with yourself or alone with the ghost of your partner. And it's a very interesting spin on that. Speaking of 80s and 90s horror, you were able to cast one of the horror icons, Miss Barbara Crampton, in the film. So Justin, how were you, how did you reach out to her?
I was absolutely elated when I heard that we got Barbara. I did not think for a moment we would be able to lock her down. She's an absolute icon. Obviously, I grew up with Reanimator, From Beyond, like all these amazing films of hers. And what's interesting about Barbara is there's a lot of horror kind of icons that you see pop up all the time. They're just in, and they're doing all the cameos, they're in all the fun little horror movies. But Barbara, first of all, famously took a huge amount of time off away from film, and then was very, very picky about what she was going to lend her name to. Obviously, coming back with You're Next, and
Channel Zero.
Yeah, those are films that and the show that we love to see her in. But honestly, at the end of the day, our amazing casting director got her the script, and she just came back in love with it. She really enjoyed the scene. Honestly, she told us what sold her was the first scene between her and Charlie. Just the character that she was going to be able to play is a little different than Barbara usually gets to play. She's not often a villain-leaning character. And I don't mean to say she's a villain in this film, but it was really all down to the script. And then she was just one of the most giving and caring actors we've ever worked with. She gave us so much time, so much care, really gave the character a great deal of thoughtful, careful work. It was wonderful.
So, Emily, what was it like working with her? Because I know it's I'm sure it's harder when you have another actor on a screen somewhere. So were you doing it real time? How did the process work, and how did the two of you connect and talk it out?
Here's the tongue twister.
The process is as mind-bending as the film is sometimes. So again, we can't overstate how kind Barbara is and how talented and how giving of her time and how supportive she's been of us. So basically she rehearsed with us, and then on the day, we sent her a GoPro. So Barbara set up her own camera, her own microphone, hair and makeup, did all of this. And after a discussion and some rehearsal and, you know, me co-directing with Justin, but also being her scene partner, And on the day, we got on Zoom, and we got on Zoom, and basically we filmed her coverage. We did not film my coverage, but I had to perform with her in order to get a performance from her that I later wanted to act against when we were getting my coverage.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
Total sense. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, I needed to be a good scene partner for her. My job was, you know, she has headphones in the scene, and that's so that we could actually use her audio without my audio interfering. So she's hearing me on Zoom, but we're recording her with a GoPro that has, you know, great resolution, and basically did the scene a few times. I tried things a little differently, which she is, as a great actor, responded to me differently. And we would discuss like, oh, I like that reaction. Let's push her that way. And ultimately, you know, we wrapped the day. She did some lovely BTS footage that will be,
and then,
you know, in the DVD and Blu-ray later. And then we shot my
Emily
scene.
Later would act against a green screen, and then those with the performance in her mind and kind of she'd rehearse with that, and then it would all come together in post.
Emily, let's talk about acting in this movie, because it's enough for one person to be the star of basically a one woman show, practically. You're co-directing the film. You have this emotional ride that you go through, especially as we get later and later into the film and things start really unwinding. What was that like on a daily basis for you? And I could only imagine how exhausted you were by the end of the day.
It was exhausting. But every frame that I'm in, Justin is dancing with me the entire time. I'm really fortunate to have a partner who is as supportive as Justin is. And we, you know, we talked not only for continuity of set, we talked about shooting this in chronological order as much as we could, partially to maintain Charlie's emotional continuity. Because I'll tell you, as we shot this, we both unraveled. this shoot started July 1st. We pushed well into August, taking like one or two days off. And, you know, because we are the only crew. There is no other crew in this film. There's no one holding a boom. There's no,
really?
No grip. Man, I am telling you, this is made by us. And our producers, our producers took a massive chance on us. Andrew Corkin and Theo James believed in us so much that they were just like, we believe you can do this. The crew is us.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A lot of like C stands and anything I could screw anything to.
Screwed into the ceiling.
Yeah, there's a lot of MacGyvering to be able to pull the film off.
So, Justin, you were pretty exhausted by the end of the day, too. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's tough because I think the exhaustion, first of all, I know, and Emily can attest to this, that it fed that performance throughout. You know, obviously this is a horror movie. This goes to some pretty demanding places emotionally. And luckily we were also so tired and so crazed. I mean, our apartment, we had to black out all the windows to make sure we could control light. It's a part of the story as well. So we were living for about 2 months like vampires. Mm-hmm. We had no sense of time. We lived in the set that is our apartment at the time.
Yeah.
That's a great apartment, by the way.
Thank you. I started really, both of us started really kind of unraveling with this loss of time ourselves and just this, it's hard to separate you and the production, and especially Emily having to separate what is her and our life and what is Charlie. It was difficult. It's one of the hardest things we've ever done. But I think, you know, she as a performer, just, it was all put on screen. It was all put in front of the camera, and the film is better for it.
Thank you.
I don't know that her psyche is better for it, but it worked the movie.
Honestly, I love Charlie because I was able to find a catharsis in Charlie and in our circumstance. Honestly, we got so deep into the shoot, and you know, at the beginning, Charlie is it's a less demanding character at the beginning of the film than near the end, not to spoil anything, but honestly, the more exhausted and stressed out and anxious and just fraught we got, I was like, this is great. I'm just going to put this on screen. I'm not going to try and filter. I'm not going to try and like meditate. I'm not going to try and calm myself down with a bubble bath. I'm in this. And I just need to embrace it, because I just had to make that switch of just like, no, I'm here. And this is not forever, but this is right now. And it's all going on screen.
And it shows. I know we have to wrap it up. So really quickly, if people want to find any social media or anything about the film, can they go to any websites or Instagram, or where can they go?
Yeah, I mean, both of us are pretty active on social media. All my social media is under Jay Brooks Film.
And I'm Emily R. Bennett.
And also there's Dark Star Pictures has been posting a great deal about it.
Yeah, and Raven Banner as
well.
And
then, of course, it releases theatrically on the 4th.
February 4th.
On VOD on the 8th.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for joining me here on the Graveyard Show podcast. Best of luck with the film. It's fantastic. And congratulations on the engagement. And would love to have you back on the show again for your next film.
Yeah, we would love that.
Absolutely.
And as I put this interview to rest, I really have to thank Emily and Justin for dealing with some sanity here. Just as we were getting ready to do the interview, I've had something happen that never happens before. They weren't hearing me. And I'm like, I hear you. And they were awesome. They hung out. They were patient. They waited. They were fantastic. But yeah, it turns out I have some faulty cable here that was shorting out my system. So of course, perfect timing, right? It's like I figured out what it was, and they were like, "Hey, we hear you." I'm like, "Okay, great. We're gonna start recording." And then the cable shorted out and took my whole system down. And I see them on the computer. They're like, "Where'd you go?" And I'm like, texting, "I'll be right back." So anyway, yeah, if it's going to happen, it usually does. So there you go. I really, really was looking forward to talking with them. And man, they did not disappoint. It was awesome. I think the three of us could talk movies all day long. So I can't wait to have them back on the show. Hey, they may just be back on the show just talking about films. They really are awesome. I had a great time having them on the program here, and again, I want to thank them for hanging in there with me. Alone With You is the film, and as we've said, it is in theaters starting February 4th, on demand starting February 8th. You know, thinking about it now, I don't even think I've given them enough credit for the amazing work that they did making this movie. I mean, doing it by themselves is incredibly hard. I can't really express that to you. The only way I could say give it a try is just try making like a 20-second video with your iPhone or your Android and just see how tough that can be. Because it's a matter of autofocus, auto iris, background noise, things that can go wrong while you're actually doing the take. There's a ton of stuff that could be problematic. The lighting could be horrible, going from a well-lit room to a dark room. The fact that the two of them did this by themselves in their apartment is I'm at a loss for words. But yes, how the hell did they even do the audio? They didn't have a boom guy. I mean, obviously they used some sort of wireless microphone, but I don't know. Man, I'm just thinking about this. Incredible. You know, I'll have to ask them the next time I have them on the program, whether it's here or maybe I have them on Catacombs of Horror. That would kind of be fun. Maybe we'll talk about something like 80s horror or something. Yeah, that's pretty incredible what they've done to make this movie. You know, they can also, hey, you know what, Emily, Justin, if you're out there, you can always fire me off an email. Let me know how you guys did the audio. GYSpodcast@gmail.com. Caretakersawesome@gmail.com is the email address. All right. Really, like they just did a fantastic job. As you can tell, I was a fan of the movie and a fan of the work that they did as filmmakers and as an actress as well. Just great stuff. Okay, very quickly, I do have some information regarding a new horror show that will be available very soon. It is an award-winning supernatural drama called The Returned. Season 2 is going to be coming out as of February 3rd. And that's going to be available on a website called Topic, T-O-P-I-C. It is another streaming service that you can find out there in the world of streaming. And the show was written and directed by the French filmmaker Fabrice Gobert. I'm assuming it's Gobert. It's G-O-B-E-R-T. I'm the last person on this planet that should ever be speaking French, so I apologize to everyone out there for my Jersey French that I do whenever I have to speak a French word. It's horrible, and I'm very well aware of that. But getting back to The Returned, which is an English word that I say very well. The first season won an international Emmy for Best Drama Series, and both seasons currently hold a 100% and a 95% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. The series follows a group of men, women, and children who return home after years of being away, but there's one hiccup. Isn't there always? Everyone thought they were dead. That's not good. So as I said, season one is going to be available for streaming on Topic starting January 27th. Season two starting February 3rd. Now, getting back to the recent upload of Graveyard Show Classic number 7. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it looks back at my interview with Brian Collins from Horror Movie A Day. It was from 2009, the original run of the Graveyard Show podcast. Brian would later become a monthly contributor on the program. He would do movie reviews that I would feature once a month, and it was called BC's Video Vault. What's interesting, when I was listening to this, when I was going back and getting this this show together and putting it together, I was listening to it, and what's crazy is that I mentioned something on that show that I just mentioned on this show, which was talking about Stephen King and commenting about horror and drama. Very strange. Of course, I wound up going down the rabbit hole after listening to this show, or as I like to put it, pulling the string on the sweater. You know, you find that one string on the sweater and you start to pull it, and the next thing you know, you have no sweater and you have a pile of wool or fabric on the ground because that one string just took it all out. While I was looking for the old BC's Video Vault segments from my old shows, I came across something very interesting that I thought I would share with you. And it's when I announced that Brian Collins was going to be joining the Graveyard Show podcast as a monthly contributor. So I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while. It's time for a Graveyard Show flashback. So, as I said before the interview, there is a new contributor that will be joining the Graveyard Show podcast very, very soon. As a matter of fact, it will be in the month of December. And I did say that I would let you know who that would be after the interview. So here we are after the interview, and it's time to reveal who the newest contributor to the Graveyard Show is. Again, for those of you that have listened to the show over a period of time, you know that Rich Peterson is a contributor. Ray McDermott from Film Radar is a contributor. And, well, the newest contributor actually was a guest on the Graveyard Show podcast way back when. As a matter of fact, we talked about his website and his, well, viewing habits. Because, you see, he watches a horror movie a day. Aha! Yes. I can only be speaking about the man himself, Mr. Brian Collins, from the website Horror Movie A Day. And if you're not familiar with Brian, well, go back and listen to, I'm not sure, I can't remember which podcast number it was, but it was 2.5 months ago, I think. It was two to 2.5 months ago. Brian was on the show. He was a guest. He was great. We talked about his website, and of course, movies. Well, Brian is going to be doing monthly contributions to the Graveyard Show podcast, and I leave it up to him what he's going to be talking about, but more than likely it will be movie reviews. movies that he's seen currently, maybe some older films. But Brian is great, and his website is great. If you're not familiar with him or his website, go check it out, horrormovieaday.com. And starting in December, you can hear Brian here in the Graveyard Show once a month. So I'm very happy and pleased to say that Brian Collins is now part of the Graveyard Show podcast family. He joins Rich Peterson, Ray McDermott, myself, and The Undertaker. So we're growing here in the Graveyard Show. To think that back in January, it was just Lil Ol' Me. Flashback. Well, there you have it. A little gem from 2009. I'm going to have to figure out what to do with those BC Video Vault segments. I think I found all of them. And who knows, maybe I'll put them up online somewhere. Speaking of which, the Graveyard Show podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts exist. And of course, the show is also available on YouTube. Just search for Graveyard Show Podcast. And on the YouTube channel, well, we have some exclusives on there. One of which is the show I had mentioned a few times called Catacombs of Horror. It is a video podcast. There are two episodes up. The first one, I'm joined by filmmaker David Weiner from the In Search of Darkness documentaries on 80s horror. We both pick what we think best represents 1980s horror in villain, filmmaker, scream queen, and franchise. The second show, which has just been killing it online, is my favorite scenes from the 1970s horror film Count Yorga Vampire. You guys are just gobbling that one up. It's amazing. I'm really pleased because I didn't think anybody would care about that. I thought the 80s show would be killing it, and it's the exact opposite. So anyway, so you can find Catacombs of Horror exclusively on the Graveyard Show Podcast's YouTube channel, and it is a video podcast. So it's not this. It's a whole lot more and just more for you to gobble up yourselves. And also on the YouTube channel, we have the George A. Romero Wing, which is brand new as well. It features all the podcasts where George Romero was a topic, such as Kim Paffenroth. He wrote a book on George Romero's zombie films. I have three shows with him, as well as my interview with his widow, Suzanne Desrochers Romero. And Judith O'Day joined me many, many years back to talk about her role as Barbara in the original Night of the Living Dead. So you can find those on there as well. And if there's anything else I ever come across on the old shows that talk about George Romero, I'll chop those up and throw those up there too. And as I said, if you'd like to reach out to the program, you can do so at gyspodcast@gmail.com. That is caretakerisawesome@gmail.com. Well, that's going to do it for me here, my friends. It was great having you back here. I look forward to seeing you very, very soon. Don't be strangers. Drop me a line. Let me know what you think of Alone with You, as well as Stoker Hills, or anything else you see. You know where to reach me. And as you exit the graveyard, I would like to remind you to please lock the gate behind you. We wouldn't want anyone to get out. Until next time.